want to show you what that is. Pick up sticks? Is that what we're playing? Pick up sticks? Yeah, Steve, glad you're here. And he's out on cloud nine because Texas Tech's in the championship basketball game. Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Father God, I lift this time up to you, Lord, and ask you to just send down your Holy Spirit. Help us grow in your image. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I got just a couple commercials. This is called a Kairos prayer link sheet right here. Each one of these little, this gets cut into this many pieces, and we make a prayer link out of it. And we take this into the prison, and at some point during the weekend, they bring this out of like three different bags that it takes to fill it up because it's really long. And these guys get to hear how each one of these links is someone that's praying over you. And so it's really an amazing, powerful thing, this prayer chain. What's really amazing is that each link on it has someone who signed their name and said that they're willing to pray over the Kairos weekend ministry. So I'm going to ask you at the end of service to come up, and if you are willing to pray, now don't sign it if you're not going to pray over it, but it has the dates of the event, and you just sign your first name, your last initial, and you put what city that you live in. And we're going to take these with us out to the prison. We're going to cut these all up. And believe it or not, every step of it is wrapped in love. There's a guy standing there at a paper cutter cutting all these things. There's more people with staple guns that are stapling each link together. And we actually build these chains by hand. The last one that we did would have stretched entirely all the way around this worship center. So whenever you got 42 men that are in the Kairos program and you break out this chain and you tell them that every link on that chain is someone praying for you and for this ministry, it's really powerful, really powerful. So I would like to get y'all to do that. There's also an opportunity to help support us at the Kairos ministry. There's seven of us from our church going, and another friend that helps at the entry a lot, Alan Bennett. He's a part of the team too. So we've got, last year in November it was just me, and now we have eight that are going to participate in the Kairos weekend. Not only that, the ones that are going, but Kirk and Eric have said that they'll help cook the brisket. Well, Kirk did. I hope he's talked to Eric already. Either that or just Eric just found out right now. So they're going to do 12 brisket for us, and we're going to take those out there, and that's going to be part of the weekend as well. So we got a lot of opportunities for you to sign the prayer link, to buy some meal tickets. They're suggested $5 per ticket that you could sign your name on, and every meal they get a placemat, which our ladies are making a bunch of placemats. Every meal they get a meal ticket that says somebody bought this meal for us. So it's really cool how we take the love of Christ into a very, very dark place. I've seen the list of the inmates. There are over 400 inmates that have applied to be part of this Kairos ministry, but only 42 are going to be selected. We pray that God already has that list made. He already knows who's supposed to be there. But I'm talking about some of these guys have been locked up since the 80s. Since the 80s. And some of them will never see the light of day other than being free on the inside. So if you're willing to sign this, great. If you'd like to contribute money, you can get the meal tickets. See me, Andy, Patty, some, one of us. Brad, we're all in this together. We're all on the Team Jesus. Woohoo! I like being on Team Jesus. Man, that song they just sang, The Great I Am, man, it's a perfect setup for what we're about to dive into today. So for those of you who were at the church council meeting last Sunday, you heard me share how God has been pressing on me to pray more, that we need to be a praying people, that we need to pray more, pray more, pray more. And then I got it confirmed by about three different sources. So one of the daily devotionals that Patty and I are studying went into the Lord's Prayer, and it talked a lot about it. And then Rick Warren puts a thing out, I can't even remember what day it was, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, that says pray more. And then this morning in Sunday school class, our teacher told us, he said, you know, we really need more corporate prayer. And so last Sunday at the council meeting, we talked about doing more corporate prayer. We had our first corporate prayer session on Wednesday after our Bible study. There were 30 of us in there, and it was awesome. We prayed in a prayer circle, and each person that wanted to pray, prayed. I don't think anybody chose not to pray. I think everybody prayed. And so we're going to do that again after worship today. We're going to move from here over to the fellowship hall, and we're going to do corporate prayer again. So our decisions were that we would pray after church on Sunday mornings and that we would pray on Wednesday nights. Now, we prayed after the Bible study this past Wednesday. We may move it to before Bible study so we could pray over the grounds as well. But we need more prayer. So as he was telling me all this, it's like, you know, okay, so what do you think Richard might ought to preach about today? Let's see. Maybe prayer. I believe that's what I'm going to do. And so as I started digging into it and, you know, I had these ideas of digging out all the places where, you know, they prayed and the sky stood still. They prayed and it didn't rain. They prayed and it rained. But you know what? As I did that, I got led to this other place. And that's where we're going. And this other place is all Jesus. It's all Jesus. If we want to know, turn to the Master, right? If we want to see, go to him. He'll show us. He'll show us. He'll show us. So the first scriptures that I want to look at are the ones that Richard read just a few minutes ago. It's in Luke 11, verse 1 through 13. Now, there are just a couple things in here I want to touch on because I got so much more scripture. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And when Richard started reading that, you thought he was going to bust out into the Lord's Prayer, didn't you? And he just got part of it. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So the way that he worded that there, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. If we're going to get what Jesus had, we got to do what Jesus did. So, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. That's going to be my first question for the invitation. Are you forgiving everyone who sins against you? Have you got a list? If you got a list and you're not forgiving them, we need to change that. We need to change that. I know I need to change that. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't go up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I did that in bold and underlined. Because of your shameless audacity. It doesn't say because of your trembling fear. It says because of your shameless audacity. When someone says, I need you to pray for me, what do? Do you say okay and walk away, or do you break into prayer right now? We're going to break into prayer right now. We're going to go that way. I'm going to go that way. Let's go that way. Had a lady yesterday that messaged me. She was one of my customers from 2 years ago, actually, the hail repair business. But she messaged me and said that her mother was in a bad way. She put it on post up on Facebook first. I tagged her and said we'd be praying for her, and we put her name on the prayer list. Her name's Elizabeth Arnold, and her mom dropped a box on her foot, and her foot got infected. And now they're going to have to remove her foot and leg all the way up to just below the knee because there's not enough circulation there for her to be healed. And then she turned around and said, would you pray for me too so that I would have the strength to keep it all together and get done the things that I need to do? And I said, absolutely, and I started. Lord Jesus, give her the strength by the power of your Holy Spirit. I'm telling you guys that story to say I'm not preaching to you something that I'm not going to do. I'm doing it now. I want you to do it now. If you're doing it now, woohoo, we're getting it right. If you're not, let's go. Let's be a praying people. Let's invite him in. Shameless audacity. That's why they're going to give you the bread. That's why he says they're going to, when you are that bold and that brave, maybe I should try that with the Kairos. If you're able to give to the Kairos ministry, I would like to see you contribute and help us. You know, a couple reasons. Number one, the Kairos ministry needs the money. But number two, you need to be a giver. I hope you're a giver already. Shameless audacity. I just put in a shameless audacity plug for Kairos. How do you say Kairos? Yes.
How? Woohoo! Let's go. Do you think Jesus took any bold risks for lost sinners? Do you think he did? I'm not saying we're Jesus, but we can look more like him. We can look more like him if we do the things he did. I want to touch another scripture here before I move on. Which of your fathers, this is verse 11. Which of your fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, you'll give him a snake instead? Or if he asks you for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You think it might be a good idea to ask for the Holy Spirit? Let's do that right now. Father God, we just ask you right now to rain down your Holy Spirit even more on this place, even more on your people, Lord. Rain your Holy Spirit down, lead us. We're asking just like Jesus told us to do. We're asking right now in Jesus' name, amen. So as I'm doing this study, I ran across this great article by a guy named Steve Shirley. Now, I'll send his article link out on Facebook or out on Flock Notes a little bit later, but I wanted to use it, and I wanted to tell you where it came from. But most of it's Scripture, so it's his idea of how he lined up what he found in Scripture. So Jesus prayed alone. He prayed in public. He prayed before meals. He prayed before important decisions, before healing, after healing, to do the Father's will. He also taught on the importance of prayer. He prayed at his baptism. I didn't recall that. Luke 3, 21, 22. The people were baptized. It came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. So he was baptized and praying. I remembered that when he was baptized, that the Holy Spirit came down on him, but I didn't remember the and praying part. That Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and the voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom in thee I am well pleased. In the morning before he went to Galilee, I mean, I got lots and lots of these. The night before he chose the 12, this is Luke 6, 12 and 13. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Man, sometimes the word of God is just like that. I don't remember reading that before. I mean, I know I read it before, but I don't remember. And it didn't teach me in a way that this taught me. You know, Jesus prayed all night long before he chose those 12. He went out and prayed all night long. I can't say I've ever prayed all night long. Man, that's amazing, isn't it? Prayed all night long. And he asked God. He was God, but he's still asking God, show me which one. Show me which ones you're supposed to be apart. He already knew, but he's still asking. While speaking to the Jewish leaders, this is Matthew 11, 25 and 26. I could have made this real hard on you, Chantel. I sent her the PowerPoint. Oh, did you get it? You didn't get it. It was a real short one. There's only like two or three on there, but I said easy peasy today. If I would have put all these in there, she would have been clicking PowerPoint all morning long. While speaking to the Jewish leaders, Matthew 11, 25 and 26. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. He did the same thing just about everywhere he was, before feeding the 5,000, before feeding the 4,000, before walking on the water. This is Matthew 14, 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountains apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He prayed while he was healing a deaf mute, giving thanks to the Father before feeding the 4,000. before Peter called him the Christ. Luke 9:18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" I can't say I've heard this before. I didn't recognize it in this way, at least. Listen to it again. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. It has to be they're like over here and he's over here. Because he says he was alone praying, but they were with him. He was alone praying, but they were with him. We can be alone praying when people are with us. We can. At his transfiguration, Luke 9:28-29, and it came to pass about an eight days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James, went up into the mountains to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Man, there's some crazy good stuff that happens when prayer happens. Crazy good stuff. Oh, you got it. There's a miracle. No, it's just a little hard work. It wasn't a miracle. I like miracles, though. Before he raised Lazarus from the dead. This is John 11:41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee, and thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which I stand by, I said it, that they may believe." So there is a direction from Jesus about how he prayed, and it wasn't like this. It was like this. "Father, thank you." Looking up. It says he looked up. There's no way, it doesn't say don't get on your knees. It doesn't say close your eyes all the time. It doesn't say those things. Follow the example of Jesus. It's okay to look up and pray. We're talking to God. That's what we're doing. We're talking to him. I love that. Asking the Father to glorify his name. John 12:27-28. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it. Getting close to his time, and Jesus is starting to trip. Take this away. He knew what was coming. Can you blame him for being afraid? Can you blame him for not wanting to do it? We don't even want to ask somebody if we can pray for them sometimes. We don't want to invite people to church sometimes. We don't want to do the simplest things. So sometimes, other times we do. We need him to grow us. We need him to help us. We need him to keep showing us these things, which are all written down in the Word. We have to get more into the Word. We have to spend more time in the Word. At the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." In Gethsemane before his betrayal, 14:32-42. I'm only going to read 32. Excuse me, 32, 33, 34. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said unto them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." The last thing he said on the cross was a prayer to God. The last words that he said before it was over, this is what he said.
my God, oh, this is not the last words, but this was while dying on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, why have you forsaken me? He had to, because Richard's such a sinner that he needed a Savior. He did it for me. He did it for you. He did it out of love. That's why he did it. Dying breath. Luke 23:46. Jesus prayed, Father, to thy hands I commit my spirit. The last thing he did was pray. He prayed so many times, so many places, over so many things. It's really incredible. I hope you take the time to look at this link that I'm going to send you to. The guy explained it really well, but I really hope you take time to spend more time in the Word and learn it yourself. I was blessed to prepare this message. Now, Twenty-six more verses. Can you stay with me for 26 verses? Yes? Okay. John 17:1-26. In my thoughts, this is some of the greatest prayer ever. Ever. In the entire length of time that time has been created, this is some of my favorite prayer. And it's Jesus praying. Listen to what he prays. 26 verses. Are you with me? After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and replied and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Verse 6, praying for his disciples. I have revealed you to those who you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your words. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them, not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. For they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Glory has come to Jesus through them. Glory has come to him through them. You get that? Man. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name. The name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. That one hurt. I could have been the one. Could have been the one. How many times have I betrayed Jesus? I don't get no pieces of silver out of the deal. Too many times I've not listened to him when he was calling. Too many times I wanted to hold a grudge. Too many times I said no when he put something in front of me to do. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be his guy. I want to say yes when he lays them in front of me, shows me what to do. Verse 13. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still here in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Yes!
Yes. Don't you want to have the full measure of the joy, of His joy within you? Woohoo! That's some good stuff right there. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them for it. Has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Can't be both. Can't be of the world and of Him. Can't do it. Can't be. You got to make up your mind. I believe we're here on Sunday morning for a reason. We've made up our minds, right? That's why we're here. We want to grow. We want to be closer. We want to not only to Him, but to each other. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. The word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So how are we going to get sanctified? By the word. That's how we get sanctified, by the word. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Verse 20. I want you to hear these last six. I want you to hear them. I want you to make them personal. I want you to know that this is Jesus praying for us. This is Jesus praying for me. Say that. This is Jesus praying for me. It's Jesus praying for me. Wow, Jesus is praying for me. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. May they also be in us. Jesus prayed that we would be in Him and the Father, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The love that God had for Jesus Christ is in us. The love that God had for Jesus Christ is in us. And Jesus is in us. And He gives us the Holy Spirit too. God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit are in you. They're in you. Don't be afraid to be audacious. Speak out. Speak up. Invite them. Pray. Pray. Let's be a praying people. Let's emulate Jesus just as much as we can. It's awesome. Christianity is not boring. It is not. If you say, I'll help, guess what? You're going to get a list of opportunities. If you say, I'm willing, guess what? You're going to get a list of opportunities.
A couple of you have heard this already, but there's a little restaurant in Corinth that Patty and I like to eat at. Some of you have been there with us. Kind of weird. Had to be a God deal. I don't even remember what day it was. Wednesday? We're sitting there eating, and there's a new waitress that comes over there, and she's just talking. Her husband died. He was a mortgage broker, had no insurance. Mother-in-law kicked her out of the house. So she's a widow who just barely got an apartment. She doesn't have a car. She didn't even have dishes, or she's got some cooked stuff. Of course, whenever I start hearing those stories, I hope you guys are like this too. Whenever you have someone starts dropping that stuff on you, God moves me to think, how can I help? What can I do? What's going on here? How can I contribute? Well, my first thought was, well, I know where a food pantry is. Just happens to be one here at our church. So I asked her, I said, do you have any way of cooking any food? And she said, well, I got a few pots and pans, but I don't have any utensils. I don't have any silverware, plates, nothing. I don't have any of that. How long has it been since you had nothing? It's been a long time since I had nothing. I still remember it. It hadn't been that long. It's been about 15 years since I had nothing. Nothing. Except what the state handed me. They got these little bars of soap they gave you that are pretty nasty. And white clothes. A lot of white clothes. Maybe that's one reason I like going back into prison, loving on those guys in white clothes, because I was one of those guys. But how can we help? Well, you know what? Seems that God ties people together that are helping other people. Because I did some stuff this week. Lisa, Tony did some stuff to help Lisa with the garage sale. And I start telling Lisa about the widow who has nothing. And Lisa's like, I got some stuff for her. I mean, she don't have a bed. You know, she said one church gave her some plastic chairs. She has nothing. She won't have nothing for long. If you have an encounter with the real people of Jesus Christ, you are not going to be the same. You are going to be changed. You are going to be impacted. We want to be those people. You don't have a bed? Let me see. God will give you a bed. I know He will. He does. How many things can Kurt list that it's like, I have no idea we ever had this. Where it's the story of the oxygen generator. Somebody comes in asking for an oxygen generator. Those things are like a grand. Well, I don't have one right now, but I bet God sends one. That next day? 2 days. 2 days after that person came in looking for an oxygen generator. This oxygen generator comes in like this. Hey, you know anybody might need this? Must be a coincidence. There's so much stuff that can separate us. Attitudes, thoughts, the enemy, us. It could be separation over issues like baptism. I was raised Church of Christ. They believe if you don't get baptized within the hour of your faith, you're not going to heaven. That's a pretty high standard to meet. Laying on of hands. Ooh, boy. We can get some differences of opinions about that. Anointing with oil. Communion. There are so many things that can divide the body of Christ if we let it. If we stick to what Jesus said, if we stick to what Jesus did, we can't go wrong. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And I believe that this group of believers at Orchard Road Baptist Church is ready to go out and serve more and do more and be more like Jesus Christ. What gets in the way? Yeah, that's right. Lonnie. Me. I'm the one that gets in the way. I'll get angry. I'll get my feelings hurt. I'll get afraid. I'll get too busy. I'll forget that I'm supposed to be looking like Jesus. He makes time for what's important. We get to do what's important. Amen? We just got to make sure that that's what we're doing. If we're on Team Jesus and He's got a plan,
If we submit to his plan, it's a good plan. May not be very easy sometimes. Sometimes it's hard. We're going through some hard parts of Jesus' plan around here right now. I want to share with you that I got the church evaluation forms back from Dan at Rightly United Ministry. I've shared them with Pastor Raphael, and I've shared them with Pastor Buck. And I want you to know there's some things that we already knew before we even got the church evaluation forms back. We need to do more Bible study. We do. We need to do more Bible study. Sunday morning corporate church is great, but that's just Sunday morning, isn't it? Are we going to be Sunday morning Christians? Do you think that's what he's calling us to be? No, it's not. There are other things. We need to go deeper. We need to get further into this. There are so many things that we are doing good that we don't want to take any credit away from that. We don't want to... It's not the good stuff in me that I need to work on. Does that make sense? It's the bad stuff in me that I need to work on. It's saying, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then not doing it. Got to stop that. For a lot of reasons. Number one, they need to pray. And number two, I don't want to carry the shame and guilt for not doing what I said I was going to do. Have you ever had that happen? When you said, pray for you, and then you forget, and you're like, God. Or something comes out of your mouth that probably shouldn't come out of your mouth. You feel that? Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. Have you got some places in your life that you have a reasonable resentment? They really did this to you. This really happened to you. I don't know if there's anybody in here that never had a church hurt. If you have, you're one of the few, I'll tell you that much. I've had church hurt. I have to let that go. I have to lay that down. I have to do what that scripture said in the first scripture that I used about how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who've asked him. Can you change one thing about your past? Can you change one thing about your past? Do you know what's going to happen in the future? I mean, we can reasonably guess at some point, if Jesus don't come, we're going to pass, aren't we? At some point, our life is going to come to an end. Let's invest it in things that are of eternal value. Let's do what Jesus did for who Jesus did it for. You know why Jesus died, right? Jesus died for sinners, right? He said, I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick. He said, I didn't come into the world to judge the world, but so that the world could be saved through him. John 3:17, one of my newest favorites. It just keeps growing in value. Because I want to judge. I got your number. I know who you are. I know what you've done. Is that how he does it? No, that's not how he does it. He said, come on, let's go get something to eat. That's one of my favorite things about Jesus. Every time he'd raise him from the dead, he's like, get her something to eat. Even when he was risen from the dead, what'd he do? He went down to the beach and cooked some food, which he prayed over, by the way. So Jesus was even praying after he was resurrected from the dead. Isn't that amazing? His last words before he was crucified, before he gave up the ghost, after he was resurrected, he's still praying. As he's leaving, it won't be the last time. I almost said leaving for the last time. It's not the last time, is it? He's coming back again. Jesus is coming back again. Are we going to be doing what he's calling us to do when he gets here? I hope so. If there's something in your life, I want you to really look. Don't let something from the past that you can't change stand in the way of what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in you. Consequently, it could stand in the way of what God is wanting to do in this church. If we have him blocked out spiritually, if we've got our mind set on, I know I'm right and I'm not going to listen to anybody else, guess what? You can't grow very much, can you? Let's open the door to the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead us. Ask him to show us. And not only the Holy Spirit, we got this book too. And we got God in us. And we have Jesus in us. So we got the Bible, we got God in us, we got Jesus in us, and we got the Holy Spirit. Do you think we might be able to accomplish what it is he's wanting us to accomplish? Let's do it then. So search yourself. See if there's anything in you that needs to be removed. Now as a band comes up, we're going to give you an opportunity to spend some time with the Lord. If you have something that you need to confess, if you want to rededicate your life, if you have been baptized when you were a child and you've recognized and realized, I don't really know why I got baptized. Do you need to be baptized? Knowing what it is, it's a representation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was baptized twice. I've rededicated my life I don't know how many times. When anybody says a sinner's prayer, I'm saying it again. If you need any of that, now's the time. Man, I got a lot of papers. Thank you.
The altars are open.